Turn to our passage today, 2 Timothy chapter 2. If you'll stand out of love and respect for the Word of God, let's read together today responsively. You can join me out loud on the even verses. I'll read the odd verses by myself here in 2 Timothy chapter 2. We'll begin all together out loud on verse 14. Of these things, put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. We've been talking about this thing of study for now for many months. And I can say that, it's been 5.5 months. That we've been talking about this particular passage of Scripture. You say, Pastor, how is it possible that you can go through over 20 sermons talking about the same thing? Well, I hope you've understood that it's not the same thing, if you will, although it is all related. But in just a short period of time, these past 20-plus sermons, we've gone through key elements of the Christian life. And by the way, listen, folks, we need to, if we're going to be something, shouldn't we be the best something that we can be? Right? If you're going to be a doctor, shouldn't you want to be the best doctor that you could be? And wouldn't you study doctorly things to be the best doctor you could be? And by the way, if you're going to be an electrician, you should be the best electrician. If you're going to be a chef, you should be the best chef, right? If you're going to be whatever you're going to be, you should be the best at what you're going to be, and you should study the elements that make up what that is. Why? Because you want to be successful, right? Who wants to go out there and fail at their job? Anybody? No, good. I hope not, because if you say that's me, then I'm going to guess you're the one that's unemployed, right? No, we don't want to fail. We don't want to fail at our job. We want to be the best. So if we're going to take on the title Christian, shouldn't we study those things which make us Christian, right? That just, to me, it's just logical. It just makes sense. And so as we look to these things, please remember, we want to be what God wants us to be. So he says to study. He says to labor. He says to have some desire and fervor and endeavor with diligence, not being distracted, not being unnecessarily delayed. You are working toward obtaining something. And we want to obtain. If we run a race just to run the race, no, that's not it. You run a race to obtain. And so, folks, we want to do something that's worthwhile. So God says, if we're going to do this right, we need to study, we need to be approved, we need to avoid some things, stay away from some things, we need to pay attention to some things. If we're going to name the name of Christ, we need to depart from iniquity, and we need to flee youthful lusts. things that the flesh desires that we're supposed to say no to. But not only are we supposed to say no to some things, we're supposed to say yes to some other things. We're supposed to flee the things of this world, the things that God said are forbidden, and we're supposed to say yes to the things of God that God says are approved. God says that righteousness is approved. Folks, we are to be pure of heart. We're to be pure of life. We're to conform our heart and life to God's divine law. And that word righteousness is nearly equivalent to the word holy. By the way, those are both descriptions of our great God, right? He is holy. He is righteous. Righteousness is approved. Hey, faith is approved. By the way, faith is just to believe or to obey a particular thing. In this case, that particular thing is God. Where's our faith supposed to be? In God. Where's it? How is it supposed to be? Strong. It's to be exercised. It's to be contended for. Folks, if you're going to contend for something, that means you know a little bit about it. Right? We'll go back to teasing here because I like to tease. When I contend with people about vehicle types. All right? Now, I do that in jest, if you will. But, you know, I have facts. I do. I have facts. Now, they may all be published by the Ford Motor Company, but they're facts. All right? Now, those... But, you know, I have those things, and I'll throw those things out there, and people will throw things back at me, and it's kind of fun, and we have a good time with it. And so you understand, but we have to know what we're talking about. And by the way, the more you know what you're talking about, the better you can contend for something. Isn't God worth contending for? Isn't he worth fighting for? We ought to fight for the Lord. We ought to contend for the faith. And it should draw us closer to him. It should draw us closer to our God. We should embrace it. We should gather close to it. Because it's our faith. And along with righteousness and faith, we talked about godliness. Folks, we ought to be godly. God is our great example. We ought to want to be like him. We ought to want to be like his son. And we ought to be in careful observance to the things of God because we love him and reverence him. Let me just say something along this point. I read something an acquaintance of mine had written or had alluded to. And it was talking about how we need to be more understanding of people's decisions and people's ways of life. That there are all different ways to live as a Christian. I'm sorry, I just don't agree with that. I just don't. There's one way to live as a Christian. And it's not the Baptist way. And it's not the independent Baptist way. And it's not this church's way, it's this book's way. And it does matter what kind of music you listen to. And it does matter what kind of things you read. And it does matter what kind of things you watch. And what kind of things you participate in the world. It does matter how you dress. It does matter how you look. It does matter how you talk. Because there is a way that's a Christian way, and everything else is not. Oh, yeah. You say, that's really rigid. Yeah, it is. And it's supposed to be. And I'm not going to apologize for it. Why? Because it's what God said. I didn't sit in my office and just theorize how I can make people's lives miserable. Let me see how I can make people mad today. You know, I make people mad anyways, just because of my own makeup, of my individual personality. A lot of people don't like how bold I am. I don't care. Now, but that godliness means I have set aside what I think is best, and I decide to follow what God thinks is best. That's godliness. And so God says, I have love and reverence for God, therefore I will be godly. That's my motive. Now, when Paul talked about this in 1 Timothy 6, 11, go back there. Paul said to Timothy, but thou, O man of God, flee these things. He says, and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith. That was the first set. Those all have things to do with our relationship toward God and His Word. All right? So we're going to be righteous. We're going to have faith. We're going to be godly. Back in our text in verse 22, he says, follow righteousness and faith. Right there. There's two of them there. And by the way, godliness has to do with righteousness and faith. So this is the first set of things that we need to follow. We're going to flee the world's ideas. We're going to flee the youthful lusts. We're going to flee the things that God says are forbidden. And we're going to go to the things that God says are acceptable. Righteousness, godliness, and faith. Now look at the next set of things that he mentions. In chapter 6, he says this word. He says, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith. And then he says the word love. Love. Go back to our text in verse 22 of 2 Timothy 2. Just a couple pages back and forth here. He says this word. He says to Timothy, righteousness, faith, charity. So let's look at these two words today. This has to do with our, if you will, emotions. This has to do with our way we deal with people. Righteousness, faith, and godliness is how we deal with our God. But how are we going to deal with people? Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians 13. You know, this is called the love chapter, right? How many of you know that, you know, you've read this before? You understand this, okay? Now, this is not that kind of love like you love peanut butter, right? How many of you love peanut butter? Okay. Chocolate? You love chocolate? Okay. How many of you love, how about this? The best food vehicle ever, the pizza. Okay. I mean, you could put anything on a pizza, right? By the way, even for all you allergy prone people, you can even have, you know, cauliflower crust pizza and organic sauces and no meat and no dairy. You know, they even have dairyless cheese. I don't know how you do that, but beats me. Okay. So you have all this stuff, right? How many of you love pizza? You're pizza lovers, right? I mean, think about this. You can have a breakfast pizza. That's outstanding, right? You can have pizza, right? Little Caesars. you can have dessert pizza. How many of you have ever had a dessert pizza? Oh, dessert pizza is great. Yeah. Now there's even two more kinds of pizza that we used to do. How many of you have ever had a vegetable pizza? Now I'm not talking about a hot one. It's not baked in the oven. It's a cold pizza. It's like an appetizer. So it's like a nice crust that's pre-baked. It's cooled off. And then it has a cream cheese, and ranch and some other stuff mixed in it as the spread. It's cold. And then you put raw vegetables on it. You put your broccoli and your cauliflower and your tomatoes and your peppers and, whatever you want on there. And you put that and you serve it cold. That's a Combs family favorite. All right. Fantastic. And then we have something called a fruit pizza. How many of you have ever had a fruit pizza? Okay, those of you that know me, you've had one probably. It's like a pre-baked pie crust. And then you put down a sweetened cream cheese. By the way, most things that the Combs family does has cream cheese in it because I love cream cheese. a sweetened cream cheese filling on the bottom. And then you put your different fruits like your mandarin oranges and your strawberries and your kiwi and all these different things. And then you put a nice orange glaze over the top of it.
and it just makes this cool gel looking thing on top, and you cut it up, and it's really fun. It's great summertime food, amen? All of these great things. How many of you are hungry? Okay, good. Let's go home, amen? Now, where was I going with all that? Oh, pizza, vehicles. Okay, you love pizza. This is not that kind of love. All right? Now, how many of you have some family love? You love your family, right? Now, listen, there are people in my family that I don't particularly like. All right? But please, how many of you have brothers or sisters or people in your family you maybe you don't like very much? Be honest. Come on. Okay, you don't want to admit it. You're all right. It's okay. There are some in my family I don't particularly like, but can I tell you something? I do love them. We ought to love everybody, right? Now, think about this. When we talk about family love, that's one. Now, how many of you, if you're married, you have a spouse, a husband, a wife, right? That's another kind of love. And then we have God's love, right? Which is the, if you will, the ultimate kind of love, which is that love that doesn't need anything back, right? And you understand that God wants us to have the right kind of love toward all people. And so he says, look, I want you to flee the world's ideas about love. Because a lot of times the world's ideas are love has some kind of greed to it. Love has some kind of conditions to it. This kind of love that God says to follow after is unconditional love. Folks, we love him because he first loved us. And for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And ladies and gentlemen, we need to follow after charity and love. Now, charity in a general sense is love and benevolence or goodwill. It is a disposition of the heart which inclines men to think favorably of their fellow man and to do them good. Folks, listen, that's hard to overcome sometimes. Because what's our natural response when people do bad to us? We want to do bad to them. Right? That's a natural response. So what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to flee that and follow God's way. Jesus spent time in the New Testament talking about this, didn't he? He says, look, if somebody takes your coat, give them your cloak also, right? If somebody asks you to go 1 mile, you go with them. If somebody smites you on the cheek, you're supposed to. Right, so what's the whole idea? We're supposed to love our enemies. We're supposed to, if you will, quote unquote, kill them with kindness. Right? We're supposed to heap coals of kindness upon their heads. We're supposed to show them something different. Something they're not expecting, because what they're expecting is the natural worldly response. And what we get to show them is God's response. Bless them that persecute you. That's strange. Hey, what is that? That's following charity. That's following love. We're supposed to follow God, be like God. We're told to follow his example, to be godly. In a theological sense, this is the unconditional, supreme love of God that is passed on through us to them. If I walk in love, as God is love, then what are they going to see? They're going to see the love of God in me, because I'm following God's love in my life. Now look here what Paul has to say to the church about love. He says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. So folks, listen. Was Paul a studied man? Was he an educated man? Absolutely he was. Very well educated, by the way. And by the way, did he know things of men and things of God? In an academic sense, yes he did. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. By the way, being a Pharisee didn't just mean he had religious information. He also had secular information. He was a studied man. Or as I like to say, he was edumacated. I like adding syllables to the English language. It's so much fun. I think my words are so much better than some of the English words. But he was educated. And he had a knowledge of things. And by the way, he probably could convince anyone of anything. Because not only was he educated, but he was an orator. He had a way with words. He could speak and people would listen. By the way, remember, the people he was talking to, they said, "Almost thou persuadest me." Remember that? I mean, he was good at what he did. He could speak before kings. So this man had a way with his tongue, if you will. But he said, if I do it without God's love, this benevolent love, this care and goodwill toward mankind and fellow man. By the way, what better will toward mankind than trying to give them the gospel? Than trying to show them the Savior. By trying to reach down into the pits of hell and pull them out to salvation. Right? What better way to show God's love than to be a witness for Jesus Christ? And so Paul said, if I do this, if I'm educated and I have a way with words and I know things, but I don't have the love of God toward mankind, I'm a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. I'm empty. How many of you ever gone out and knocked on a door of a house that was empty? You ever notice this? When we go out soul winning, sometimes we'll approach a door and there's one of those little lock boxes on there, right? And sometimes you can see into the windows of the house and it's empty. And you knock on the door and you can hear the echo inside, right? And then you walk up to a door and you knock on the door of a house that's occupied by people. It doesn't sound the same. Folks, can I tell you something? When we don't exhibit the love of God to people, we sound empty. There's a hollow sound to it. There's no substance that's there to reverberate what God has for those people. We're a sounding brass. We're a tinkling cymbal. Look at verse number 2. He says, "And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing." Folks, you can be the most scholarly scholar of the things of God, and you can have divine revelation and divine understanding and all these things, but if you don't channel that toward reaching people for Christ, you're nothing. What good does it do to know everything and not share it with anybody? You just become a Dead Sea. You all know what the Dead Sea, right? The Dead Sea over in Israel, in that area, is the most abundantly rich mineral sources, etc., 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 but there's no living thing in it because it's too full of stuff. There's no outlet. There's no way to share it. And though you have the gift of prophecy, and though you have all this understanding, you understand all the mysteries and all the knowledge. Hey, listen, folks, that's why for me as a pastor, part of my time is portioned for study. I think you need to study. I think you need to be knowledgeable about things. But I can't take all of my time every week just doing that because I'll become a Dead Sea. I need to share it with someone. I need to work with people. I need to talk to people. I need to love people. I need to not just be nothing, and I need to be something. How do I be something? Do what God says. Be a witness. Be a brother. Be a friend. Be an advisor. Be a counselor. Be the things that I'm supposed to be as a pastor that involves people. I'm in the people business. And by the way, God made me so that I like people. I do. I would rather talk to people than just sit and read a book. Anybody else like that? How many of you would rather sit and read a book? Okay. Amen. Well, that's fine. I'm okay with that too. But Put a little charity in that, okay? Put a little bit of talking to people and don't just become a Dead Sea where you're taking in.
Oh, I understand all the mysteries of the Bible.
Well, good. Who are you sharing them with? Because, I mean, just for you to know and understand them all and have all the revelation of God and not to share with anybody, you're nothing. We need to become something. God says, flee the things of the world and follow the things that I tell you. Look at verse 3. He says, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. You say, but Pastor, feeding the poor and giving yourself as a martyr for the cause of Christ, that's all great. Yes, but if it's not because of or for the purpose of goodwill toward men, which means furthering the gospel's sake, right? What did the angels say when Christ was born? Peace on earth and goodwill toward men. What does that have to do with Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. What was Christ's ministry all about? Reaching people. Folks, we don't need to just feed their bellies. We don't need to just show ourselves as a public display as far as a sacrifice goes. It needs to be with purpose. To reach people for Christ. You say, but Pastor, I want to reach people for Christ, but I just don't know how, or I just don't know what to do. Folks, all we got to do is be a witness. We just have to go. We just have to have a burden. You know that the Apostle Paul, earlier in his writings, he talks about how he would even give up his own salvation if the people of Israel could be saved. Do you care that much? That you'd be willing to go spend eternity in hell if somebody else could have salvation. See, that's a burden. That's charity. Flip over to, there's so much more here we could look at. Charity never faileth. It says here that abideth these, faith, hope, charity. These three, the greatest of these is charity. Go over to Colossians chapter 3. You know how much I told you before how I enjoyed the book of Colossians, especially chapter 3. If we'll conquer this thing of the right kind of love, this agape love, this love of God that is unconditional, we'll be something for the Lord. Look what he says there in chapter 3. Look at the first verse. Paul says, finally, brethren. That's Philippians. Sorry. I got to get over one more book. There it is. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. He says, set your affection on things above and things above, not on things on the earth. Now, With that statement, let me just reiterate what Paul said to Timothy. Flee the youthful lusts, follow charity and love. Folks, let me tell you something. This world has nothing for you. John tells us to love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. You can't have both, folks. We've got to flee this world's idea of love and follow God's idea of love. So he says, set your affection on things above. By the way, if you love God how you're supposed to love God, you will love people how you're supposed to love people. And by the way, let me put that in the converse sense. If you love people how you're supposed to love people, you'll love God how you're supposed to love God. It works both ways. Yes, I did just use a geometry term. Converse, okay? You like that, amen? That's not a shoe brand, okay? Well, it is, but not in that sense. Now, when we talk about love, We need to set our affection, we need to follow charity and unconditional love, benevolence, goodwill toward mankind. By the way, do people deserve that? They don't. Do you deserve God's love? No. Why does he love us then? Because he is God and he loves us. Why should we love them? Do they deserve it? By the way, I'm usually in my flesh more than I am in the spirit when I'm driving. Anybody else there? That guy that cuts you off, does he deserve your love? No, he deserves your horn. Okay? He deserves your wrath and your, you know, your front of your car on the back of his bumper. That's what he deserves, right? How many of you feel that? Come on, don't be pious Christians in here. You're all road ragers like me, right? Huh? How many of you yell at the other people? Yeah? Even though they can't hear you, right? Because it makes you feel better, right? It makes me feel better. Now, I told you the story, right, about my kids. When they were a lot younger, one of the sobering facts to me was when I started yelling at people, I hear in the back seat, you know, "You idiot! You retard!" You know, I was like, "Oh, I got to be careful what I say," you know, because my kids are repeating it. They have no idea. But no, folks, listen. If we will focus our love, then we'll be what God wants us to be. Nobody deserves it. We don't deserve God's love. They don't deserve our love. But we need to give it so that we'll be something in the eyes of God. Flee the youthful lust. The world says you only need to love those that love you. You only need to love those if it gets you something in return. God says love without return. Because that's the example of love that God has toward us. Look here at Colossians, what he says. He says, for ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. That's the reason why we should love. And then he says, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. He says there to mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. What is all that? That is the opposite of love, right? He says, lie not one to another, seeing you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. So go down to verse 14 for sake of time. He says, and above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Folks, if we want to be perfect in Christ Jesus, we need to put on charity. If you think back to what Paul said to the Corinthian church, he said, look, I'm gonna have knowledge and I'm gonna have ability to speak and be an orator. I'm gonna have revelation and divine prophecy and understanding of the Word of God. I'm gonna be a giver. I'm gonna be a servant. I'm gonna do all these things, but I'm gonna do it with charity, so I can be complete. Folks, what completes us? Should we be knowledgeable and benevolent, and should we be understanding and have wisdom and divine information? Yes, 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 and yes. But if I do it all without the completing factor, God's love, charity, I'm nothing. We need to complete our righteousness, our faith, our godliness, with charity and love. If we love the brethren, we love God. Think about the things that John says in 1 John 3. By the way, you could read all through 1 John. What was John known as? the disciple whom Jesus loved. Now think about that. John writes this and says, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. I love that phrase. Folks, in and of ourselves, are we capable of love? No. Because we're cursed. So what do we have to do? We have to use what God has bestowed upon us. When we're made a new creature in Christ, old things are passed away. And what has happened? All things are become, including our ability to love. If we love in the flesh, that's not the right kind of love. But if we love in the Spirit, that is the right kind of love, because it's the love that God has bestowed upon us. He says, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. So think about, I don't know if you've thought about this before. When God's love is bestowed on me, I'm called the son of God because now I have God's love on me. I have the bond of perfectness upon me. Now listen to this. Listen to what John says in John 3. This is John 3, verse 1. He says, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Colon. There's a colon there. Listen to this. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. They can't recognize it. They look at it and they say, what? What is this? I've never seen this before. I've never felt this before. I've never experienced this before. What is it? It's God's love. It's something they don't recognize. Folks, that's why God says, flee the youthful things, flee the things of the world, and follow my charity, my love. Because it's different. It's so different. He says, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. He says, beloved, now are we the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Folks, do you understand that the Bible says God is love? God is love. There's an equality there. And if we're going to flee the world's form of love and follow his form of love, we're going to be different. We're going to be perfect. What does God want us to be? Perfect. Complete. What completes us? The love of God. By the way, Paul says that the love of God is something this world cannot understand. They can't understand the breadth, the height, the depth, the length. They can't understand it. The love of God is something the world cannot understand. But it's something that the world can have if they'll accept God. It's something the Christian can use because it's been bestowed upon us. God is love. We should love. And we need to follow God's love. A little bit more out of 1 John 3. By the way, you're listening fantastically today. I actually got through two things. It's better than one. Not as good as three or four. Listen to this. Let me skip down here. Here we go. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. For this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should have love one, or that we should love one another. You understand, folks, that God says we should be displaying his love in our lives to others. And if we don't, we're not doing what we're supposed to do. Hey, Christian, let me talk to you for just a second. And I know basically I've been talking to you this whole time. But how is your display of God's love in your life? Are you just a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal? Are you nothing? Is your life wasted because you're not passing on God's love, which He's bestowed upon you, to others? Well, you might know a lot of stuff. You might read and study your Bible. You might have a compassionate and benevolent spirit, but is it coupled with the love of God? You know what the Bible tells us? Go over to, let me see here if I can find it real quick. I have so many more verses to go through, but I think it's in Peter. Yeah. Go to 2 Peter 1. We'll close here today. And we'll pick up some more things later. I'm going to read this chapter, verse of the Bible again to you. But 2 Peter 1, you know this passage, right? And beside this, he says in verse 5, he says, add to your, with all, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, right? You've all heard this passage, right? Add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, those are things that are great, to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. So, again, what's the bond of perfectness? Charity. Why is charity mentioned last in this list? Because it's that thing that binds it all together. It completes it. Do we want to be complete in Christ? Should we be righteous? Yes. Should we follow righteousness? Yes. Should we follow faith and follow godliness? Yes. But to complete our lives, we need to follow charity. Follow love. Sometimes it's hard to love. Is it not? How many of you have ever found it hard to love? It's hard. But it's something we must do. If we're going to flee the things of this world and follow the things of God, we must follow love. Think about our lives. You suppose, now think of it in human, I want you to think about something in human terms. I know it's not in human terms, but think about it in human terms. In human terms, do you suppose it would be hard for God to love you sometimes? In human terms. So you see? But now, think of it outside of human terms, in God's terms. Is it hard for God to love us? No. Because it's unconditional. It's unconditional. He wants every sinner to be saved, folks. Everyone. What do we put on it? Oh, God can't save that person. They're too far gone. Are they? No, not in God's terms. By the way, we always kind of justify it. Well, I'm a sinner, but I'm not that bad. How bad is that bad? You see what I'm saying here? Flee youthful lust. Follow God's love, God's charity, so we can be complete in Christ Jesus.